Well, greetings, all of our family and friends. I want to welcome you to our Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast. It is a privilege to be with you. It is an awesome day today. God is going to be moving in a mighty, mighty way. I'm going to give you just a moment to log on. God bless you. Love to worship. So good to see you. Sister Nina Sanchez, welcome. Blessings to you as well. We're excited today. It's going to be a special broadcast in just a moment. I'm going to be bringing on a good friend and brother of ours, Apostle Howard Pyles, all the way from Secunda, South Africa. God is going to be speaking directly. We're going to be sharing today in anticipation of a mighty move of God this weekend. But I'm going to give you just a minute to, if you can, grab your device and hit the share button. And if you can hit the share, if you can hit the like, if you can hit the subscribe button, make sure that you're letting people know we're on. We believe that as we're doing that, God is adding grace to each and every one of us by the Spirit of the Lord. So thank you for being with us. We're not going to be too long today, but we want to make sure we make time to talk about the purpose of God. And this weekend, we're going to be in South Africa with, again, our good friends, Apostle Howard and Jackie Pyles, and the Eternal A Praise City family. We're going to be talking about that and having a sovereign conference. It's going to be an amazing topic today. So good to see you, Brother Marine. God bless you. Good to see you, Sister Wendy. Blessings to you as well. Sister Brandy, good afternoon to you as well. The Lord bless you, Sister Eunice. I'm not going to be belabored too long today, but thank you for joining us. In just a minute, I'm going to bring on a man of God. Again, he is from the region of Secunda, South Africa. He is an apostle of a great work there. He is a businessman. He's an anointed teacher and preacher of the word, but he's also a friend of ours. In the few years we've got to know him, his integrity, his character, but also the oil on his life has caused him to stand out. So I'm going to ask you to welcome, if you would, my good friend, the man of God, Apostle Howard Pyles. God bless you, Apostle. How are you,
evening,
my friend?
Evening, Apostle. So good to see you.
How are you
doing? So good to see you. Great. Good to be with you tonight.
Amen. So glad you're here. I'm going to see if they can raise your volume up just a little bit so I can hear you. Okay. I'm going to lower these other volumes down. But how's everything going there in anticipation for the conference, Apostle?
We're getting ready. I've just actually come from a service. I was laughing because you were talking about the oil on my life, and literally we had an anointing service, and I realized I still had some oil from the service on my forehead where my wife had anointed me. So we were getting ready, prayed up in anticipation for this weekend. We're excited to see you again. So we're looking forward to an awesome time and an awesome move of God.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, those that don't know myself and Pastor Ophelia, it'll be her first trip to South Africa. We're leaving tomorrow midday. We're leaving tomorrow midday to make our flight to Johannesburg. And then from there, just a short drive to Secunda with our family. The work of God is so amazing. Eternal Praise City is an amazing eternal. It's an awesome work. You've built something phenomenal in the spirit, but there is a move of God going to be there this weekend. The power of God is going to be flowing. We're going to be talking about that, but welcome, Sister Julie. Welcome, Beatrice. Welcome, Priscilla. We'll start with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into the word and share a little bit about the vision for this weekend, what God is speaking, and then how we can position ourselves. Those that cannot be there in person, they can join online. I believe we're going to have some streaming there, some broadcasting, and they can be a part of it. But let's just start with a word of prayer. I want to go right into the word. So Heavenly Father, we invite your presence onto this line. We ask you to heal. We ask you to touch. We ask you to deliver. We pray the Spirit of God would flow supernaturally. Every hindrance, every obstacle, every resistance to the word, we declare you are broken down. And I thank you that the anointing that makes preaching easy and teaching your word go forth from our hearts and our minds. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our spirits. Give us wisdom. Give us revelation. Give us counsel. Give us the mind of God. I declare in the name of Jesus that there is an oil and there is a fragrance on this time together, that we would hear from you and we would be transformed, that we would be renewed, that we would be refreshed, that we would be revived. Speak to our hearts and open up our understanding. Give us counsel, give us wisdom, give us revelation, give us miracles and signs and wonders, that you would get glory and that you would get honor. This I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen and amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, I'm going to go and read this verse and then I'm going to pass it to you to open. We'll do a little bit of back and forth and share the mind of God. Isaiah 61 and verse number one. Our key verse normally is Romans 8:21, and we believe in liberty and freedom through the sonship of God. But let me encourage you, God is a sovereign ruler, but his desire is to impart that sovereignty or the sovereign grace to be a man and woman of authority, those that operate in dominion, the Spirit of the Lord. Here is what Isaiah 61 verse number one in the New International Version reads. I'm going to pass it to Apostle. He's going to share the vision for this weekend, but also the vision for this season. And here is a scripture: the Spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me. I'm going to read that again. The Spirit of the sovereign Lord is on us. That God's sovereign authority comes on man and woman for a purpose in the earth, because he's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and the scripture says to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Go ahead, Apostle. Tell us a little bit about your vision for sovereign, what you're seeing, what God is saying, and what we can expect this weekend.
Well, so actually since last year, you know, the Lord has been speaking to us and impressing upon our hearts the issue of his sovereignty. And I think when we look at the culture of the church by and large, whenever there's been a move of God, whenever there's been an outpouring, invariably we have seen how when we miss that it is a sovereign move of God and not a move of man, how sometimes it becomes twisted. You know, we fall into error, we become prideful, and very soon, you know, we open up doors for the enemy to be able to twist what God had intended to bless his people. And I loved specifically how the NIV put it. I know every other version, the King James Version, the NASB, simply speaks about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. But the NIV specifically emphasizes the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord.
Yeah.
And that gives us perspective that the anointing that is poured upon our lives, you know, Jesus quotes this very same verse of scripture when he begins to teach in the synagogue, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Yeah.
And the purpose thereof is not for the glorification of man, but it is for the sovereign purpose of God.
That's right.
That, you know, the brokenhearted may be bound up, that the captive may be set free. There might be liberty to them. The blinded eyes might be opened, that there may be a proclamation of the good news.
Yeah.
And sometimes when we miss that it's God's purpose, we can be led by our feelings. We can
That's
be
right.
led by you know, there's fatigue in my body, or I don't feel like praying right now. At least, you know, I did a 5-minute prayer, and that mm-hmm. prayer is my shopping list to God. Or I didn't really want to go to church. At least I went to church. And we tend to want to satisfy our will and not appease the sovereign will of God. And Jesus gives us a pattern. Jesus gives us, as the anointed one, gives us a pattern of how the will of God should take precedence in our lives. When he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, amidst all of the pain, all of the pressure, all of the weight of the sin of the world that's about to come upon him, to the extent that he begins to bleed, to sweat blood, you know, mm-hmm. he says, "If it were possible, let this cup pass me by."
Yeah.
"But Father, not my will, but
yes.
yours." Elsewhere, he begins to encourage us. He says, I only do what I see the Father do. So we need to begin to ask ourselves, if we say that we are disciples, followers of Jesus, are we emulating what we see the Father do? Are we doing the will of the Father, or are we more often led by our feelings, by what culture dictate to us, or you know, what the norm in the environment is? And oftentimes, you know, we fall into that trap. as the church of being influenced by culture.
Yeah.
And yet when Jesus teaches the disciples, when they asked him, teach us how to pray, he says, pray after this fashion. In other words, he's giving a pattern when he begins to declare our Father.
Yeah.
So there's a pattern there he's a God of the collective, not just my God, but he's the God of us as a family, of the household of faith. You know, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Not my kingdom come, not the kingdom of who's the most popular preacher, not the kingdom of whoever, you know, is the biggest influencer on social media, but thy kingdom come.
Yeah.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then thereafter, he begins to expound on our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. And so it's very interesting that Jesus, even in the pattern for prayer, begins to illustrate that it's God's will first, then our needs afterwards.
Yeah.
It's God's will first. And sometimes, you know, when God prompts us to do certain things, we get to a place where we don't feel like it because, you know, what's culture going to say? Culture doesn't dictate that it's popular for us to fast, for us to pray, to be kind, to forgive. Culture doesn't dictate that. Culture says to us, take as much as you can as much as you, you know. But the culture of heaven, when Jesus says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, should give to us the pattern that is his will first. And
that's
not
right.
mine.
That's right.
It's his will first and not my desire. It's his will first and his pleasure first before we can get to, well, Father, you know, you didn't answer my prayer of yesterday. Is it in his will? Is it in his will? And you know, sometimes this is an unpopular, you know, view to take where we have a bless me culture. We have, Lord, you know, my prayer is more about, Lord, bless me. Lord, I need a new house. I need a new car. I need a job. And it's not that God does not want you to have those things. He clearly says, you know, Jesus teaches, give us this day our daily bread. There's daily sustenance, daily needs that God will answer. But firstly, he puts the emphasis on God's will first in our lives. And so with the Sovereign Conference, what we want to bring back is an alignment to say that in as much as there is so much happening in popular culture, let us come back to the understanding that it is God's will first. If Jesus, who is our pattern in the earth, if he was able to declare that he only does what he sees the Father do, how much not more us? We revel, Apostle, in scriptures where Christ says to us, you know, greater works than these that I do, you will do.
But
by the same token and by the same correlation, we should then be able to say we should be doing greater the will of God than what he did.
That's
we
right.
We should be totally sold out to the sovereign will of God. And I believe that this is the season where we need to get back to that, not my will, Lord, but yours. Mary, when the angel Gabriel came to her and told her that, you know, she will be with child. And after she first began to say, you know, what will the people say? I'm not married. But afterwards, her response was, be it unto me according to thy word. Over to you, Apostle.
Amen. Confidence. Amazing, Apostle. The will of God. This is the beauty of humanity. Humanity is given a choice to serve God or not. They're given a choice to surrender their will back to the Father and be under submission, which produces earthly authority, sovereign. I begin to look up the word, and I'm very stirred, and I'm glad I'm able to even hear more in preparation for this weekend. As you mentioned, the will of God is the key to having needs met. I believe that to be, if you tie your needs to the will of God, they'll be met.
Amen.
He didn't say, give me my daily bread, give us our daily bread. He didn't say, forgive us our trespasses. The whole premise of the Lord's Prayer is we, community. And as
Amen.
You start with worship, as we start with our Father, which is our as community, Father then is paternity, our Father, and then location in the heavenly realm. We start from heaven to earth, and as opposed from earth to heaven, we can have a earthly perspective of heavenly things, but I believe we should have a heavenly perspective to see things in the earth from heaven's perspective, which are in heaven, and we worship. Then we now can position ourselves to invite the kingdom to come, which is God's dominion. That word sovereign is a conjunction of two words, sovereign, which is R-A-I-N, and the word reign. So sovereign, or to reign, which means above, super, and the word reign means rulership. And there's a sovereign rulership God has over all creation, but as we submit, he wants to yield that back to us. And he says, as the kingdom comes, then the will of God is done. And it's not his will that any perish. Then why is there perishing? Because men and women have ran from the will of God. They've not yielded themselves. I heard this scripture as you were speaking, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So God is obligated to bring to pass his will, not our will. You know, I can imagine Joseph, you know, if you were to tell me, Apostle, you know, next week they're going to put you in the lion's den, I would fast with you. Don't go to the lion's den. If I were to tell you, Apostle, next week they're going to put me in a fiery furnace, I would expect you to fast with me so we avoid the furnace. But sometimes the will of God is the furnace so he can get glory. Sometimes the will of God is the lion's den so we can close the mouth of the lions.
Absolutely.
How do we understand that the trial is a setup for his glory? He wants the king to see there's only one God and his name is Jehovah. And after three Hebrew boys were willing to see, they said a funny thing, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They said, my God can deliver us. He's well able to. But even if he doesn't, see, the church got to grow that even if he don't send the money right now, even if I don't see a healing immediately, we're not going to bow to you in this situation. And the king's visage changed, which his countenance changed. He turned up the fire seven times hotter. And the Bible says the strong men were slain. And that's how you slay a strong man, is to turn up the fire seven times. And the Bible says they got in there and their chains burned up, or their fetters burned up. And when they came out not smelling like smoke. And they said, he made a decree. No one can talk against this God because no one can save like this. And God was glorified because they went through I would pray, Lord, let's avoid the lion's den naturally. I would pray, you know, Apostle, let's avoid the fiery furnace. It can't be God. But sometimes the will of God is the furnace, because the scripture says you're going to go through the fire and not be burned. You're going to go through the water and it ain't going to drown you. Sometimes there is a people who have to have a confidence in the will of God, that there are some people fire can't burn, some people water can't drown, some people lions can't eat, there are some people that are discovering the will of God. We have the confidence that if we ask the will of God, another place it says, we don't know what to pray for, what we are. And the Holy Ghost has to intercede for us with groanings, because sometimes we're praying to stop. Imagine Joseph saying, take me out of the prison. Imagine Joseph saying, and God said, I ain't taking you out. I'm promoting you to the palace. No, just let me out. Imagine these prayers we pray in our feelings and our emotions. And exactly what you said, here is the surrender of Luke. He said, you know, Father, if it's possible, if there's another way, that's not wrong to pray. Jesus prayed it. But nevertheless, if this cup is your will, not my will. And later you see Peter cutting off the man's ear, trying to stop him from going to the cross. And ask a funny question. Do you think I shouldn't drink this cup? Is it Europe? He's getting the opinions of those around him. He's made up his mind to obey the Father, but he's trying to get consensus. So it's stirring me even in this confidence, the confidence we have in him, that if we ask according to the will, he will hear us. And sometimes, maybe not every time, sometimes maybe we're not praying the will. Sometimes we're praying our emotion. Sometimes we're praying our feelings. Sometimes we're praying. Go ahead, Apostle. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Amen. No, you touched on something, and quite often I hear this from a lot of Christians. You know, when trials hit them, then sometimes the first response is, "Lord, what have I done to deserve this?"
Yeah.
As if trials should not be, you know, part of the testing.
Come on.
And I was sharing with someone to say, well, if your faith is not tested, how do we know that it's good faith? And you touched on Joseph. I was going to go there as well. That if he had not gone through the trial, if he had not gone through the prison,
yes,
imagine what would have happened to a whole nation of Israel.
Come on,
who could not come? You know, almost a generation later, and find refuge, find food in a time of famine. And oftentimes we look at our trials as punishment.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
we forget that Romans 8:28 says that, you know, all things work together to the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Again,
that's right.
We miss that part. Some folks will just quote the first part that says, you know, those who love the Lord, but we miss the part where it says who are called according to His purpose.
Yes,
not according to our purpose, not according to what we think should be happening to us. But it is His purpose that predetermines, you know, the all things.
That's right.
And the all things will shape us.
That's right.
To the extent that, you know, we're able to stand and we're able to bring testimony to the goodness and bring glory to God through the fruit that is yielded out of that period of labor and trial that we've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to begin to articulate and understand that when we face trials, you know, when the Bible says give thanks in all things,
yeah,
our response, instead of being what have I done to deserve this,
yeah,
is Lord, thank you for this trial, because I know through it you will receive glory. If our posture is such that we're positioned to submit to His will. Just going back to Isaiah 61 and verse 1, when it talks about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and He has anointed me. I just want to quickly jump to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27, where John writes, as for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you.
Yes.
And you do not need anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him. The anointing of God is very real. It's very real. It remains in our life. It becomes a vehicle when we yield and submit to God's will. It becomes a vehicle that God uses in order for us to be taught, you know, so that we can remain, so that we can be ones who stay within His will.
Mm-hmm.
And not become a people who are fickle, who worship Him only when the blessings come.
Yeah.
But when the tough times are there, we're moaning and we're asking, Lord, what have I done to deserve this? What curse has been placed upon me? We begin to do warfare instead of worship. And there's a place for warfare.
Yes.
There's an understanding that, Lord, if I'm submitted to Your will, then this must be for Your glory. Now, it sounds contradictory to the populist message that the Lord's going to come and bring breakthrough. The Lord's going to come and bring, you know, fire, and He's going to consume your enemies. The Egyptians that you see right now, you won't see them again.
Yeah.
But for a season, what we miss is for a season, you have to see those Egyptians.
That's right. That's right.
On the other side of the trial, you will see the glory of the Lord, and He will receive the glory. You will see the victory. But the anointing, I got such a picture of it, where literally, you know, when we pour oil on pieces of metal that have become stuck,
come on,
what the oil does is it penetrates in between those layers, and what it does is it creates a thin barrier that now allows for movement.
That's right.
Now, I don't know who this is for tonight on this broadcast, but I believe the anointing of God is about to cause movement where it seems like you've been stuck in one place. The Spirit of God is upon this broadcast to bring a release. It literally becomes a separation, a barrier between burdens and you. The scripture tells us, you know, that because of the oil, you know, burdens are removed and yokes are destroyed. It is removed by allowing a barrier between the burden that allows that burden to slip off. And I want to prophesy to someone tonight that God is starting to cause movement out of a stuck place, because burdens are about to start shifting in the name of Jesus.
That is
why, that is God's sovereign will. It's not God's will that you must have the burden. He receives glory when you come out on the other side burden free. But the anointing comes. It creates that separation. It creates the gap so that you can slide out of that burden and it's removed off your life. Amen. Over to
Amen.
You, Apostle.
Amen. Agreement, 100%. My anointing and the grace on my in my spirit is feeling stirred in that as we trust God in another dimension. It's one thing to trust God on the mountain, but do you trust him in the valley? It's one thing to trust God in breakthrough, but can you trust him in bondage? You know, the Bible says that Jesus, we've been preaching, led captivity captive. So he submitted himself to death. Now, we think about this. How is it possible that the resurrection died? We think about that. You know, he said in John 11, I'm the resurrection, but yet he allows himself to die. No one takes his life. The nails didn't kill him. The lashing didn't kill him. The asphyxiation didn't kill him. He gave up the ghost, the Bible says.
Yeah.
The scripture tells us that the righteous man, the book of Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 24:16, a just man falls seven times and gets up again, but the wicked fall into mischief. And we were teaching this Sunday, and I said, Lord, help me understand. Because I grew up in the church, I think of falling as sinning. I think I'm a church boy. I think of, you know, that they fell. That means they had they did something wrong. They sinned. But what happens when God makes you lie down? What happens when he asks you to lay your life down? See, Jesus didn't fall. He let himself go low. But the power wasn't in just his ability to rise. His ability, can you go low? And oftentimes, in Psalms, he has to make us lie down because we won't lie down. We won't surrender to the will. What happens when his will is wait, endure? What happens when he could come and heal you, but he waits 4 days? And we see the we're mad, and here comes Mary and Martha. They're upset. You know, you would have been here. It could have, should have. And they're frustrated because he's dead, but they don't understand. He's about to show a level of glory that he's never shown before. So the same God that gives you power to go low is the same God that will give you power to rise. And submitting to that will, as you said this verse earlier, it's found in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, in everything. And the Lord said this to me, son, not for everything, but in everything. I'm not thankful for disease or, you know, I'm thankful in disease. You've got to be grateful in everything.
Yes.
Thanks, for this is the will of God. So when we start to understand, when I can give thanks in whatever I go through, I start to unlock the will of God. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So that wherever I'm at, my heart doesn't change. Bless you, Pastor. So good to see you. Bless you, Sister Natalie, Pastor Bridget Finley. So good to see you, woman of God. Sister Anna, this is the will of God, that in the midst of the trial, what can you endure? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured. He could endure things. And God spoke this to me. He said, the measure of a man and the measure of a woman of God in the spirit is not just miracles or signs or wonders or people falling out when they lay hands or preaching or signs. The measure is, what can you endure? What can you go through? What can you remain consistent in, knowing it's the will of God and not our will?
Amen.
Romans chapter 12, I'll give this as well. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, Paul is writing to the Roman church, And he's encouraging them that the will of God is something that must be fulfilled and executed. See, we can choose to do our will. And unfortunately, bless you, Sister Marissa, Sister Delma, welcome, welcome. Unfortunately, Sister Joanna, so good to see you. Unfortunately, the will of God, I won't say is rarely done, but it's ultimately going to be done in the fulfillment of time. We see the writings of the book of Revelation, Daniel. It tells us what will be, but what happens when we don't surrender our will? What happens when we don't yield? Here's what Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God must be walked out. It's got to be, yeah. It's got to be understood. And then it has to be, I would say performed to perform for acceptance. God said this to me, you're not saved by your works, but you're saved for a work. There is a work, there is a plan, there is an assignment, there is a destiny. And my assignment and my calling is what I'm purposed to do. And it doesn't save me. I'm saved by grace, but I'm saved for something. Daniel had an assignment. Joseph had an assignment. What is the will of God for me in my life? And the first way to, I believe, unlock that is to start to be grateful. I think you were talking about that in a previous season. Gratitude and thanksgiving is an action that opens up a right perspective. That no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, whether it's a lion's den, whether it's a fiery furnace, whether it's going to the lower parts of the earth and being sown as a seed to lead captivity captive. We were reading about Peter as he began to preach to the spirits in prison. What would have happened if Joseph stopped interpreting dreams? You know, Jeremiah got mad. He said, look, I ain't going to prophesy no more. You know, this prophecy stuff got me in trouble. I'm in prison for prophesying. He said, I'm not going to speak God's word anymore. And we've all felt that way. We've all felt wounded and hurt. But then it said it became like a fire in his bones. And it was very imperative that Joseph kept interpreting dreams, even in the prison, because it's a setup. God's trying to get you out of where you are. And the will of God is a picture. It is a story. It is a plan that we must endure to the end. We must begin to understand it and choose to yield to the will of God. Choose to surrender to the will of God. And see, here's even the beauty, Apostle. The scripture says Jesus could have called 12 legion of angels to pull him off of the cross. So there was a level of authority that Jesus stepped into that he could have prayed against the will of the Father and it would have come to pass. And I believe that the higher you go in them, the more authority God gives you, the more he has to trust you to surrender to his will. Right over to you.
Amen. I think it's important, Apostle, and just for the listeners to emphasize, because there has been a train of thought within the church that, you know, that suffering is of God, and that you know, it's my lot in life to suffer, and I want to discard that with, you know, the lies that it is from the pit of hell.
Yeah.
But what we're touching on, and I'm reminded of the scripture in John chapter 9 where Jesus heals the blind man, and the disciples ask, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents? And Jesus says neither, but he was born this way so that the works of God might be displayed in him.
That's right.
And we must understand that the purpose for Jesus coming was that we might be free and free indeed. That's right. We may have life and that more abundantly. So it's not God's will for us to be stuck in a place of captivity, be stuck in a place of blindness. But it does become a vehicle through which the works of God can be displayed, the glory of God can be showed, because it is God's desire, his absolute desire for us to be free, to live life in abundance, you know, to be delivered and to walk in the fullness of what he has for us. But we need to understand that, you know, sometimes I'll tell folks that there are some things we blame on the devil. Some things are just life.
Yeah.
But all of these things together, when we come through on the other side and we've walked through the valley, and we're on the mountaintop.
Yes.
It is the Lord who receives the glory. And when...
Thank you, Lord.
We're struggling with Wi-Fi over here.
I can hear you, though. We can hear you now.
Okay, you got me back again.
Yeah,
and, and we, you know, we oftentimes, when trouble hits, Sunday night, Apostle, can you hear me?
We hear you. Uh-huh. We still hear you.
Can you hear me, Apostle?
We hear you, Apostle.
Just a personal testimony. On Sunday night, you know, after a powerful day,
okay. It looks like it popped off. Apostle's going to come right back in. You know, the devil hates testimony. I'll tell you that the moment the man of God started to get ready to share testimony, he's going to come back in a minute, finish that testimony. Let me encourage you listening as the apostle is going to log back on. Let's just take a moment to agree. Lord, we pray over the airwaves. We pray over that Wi-Fi, that the internet would open in the spirit, and that the message the man of God is bringing would confirm, that it would bring life. He's coming back in just a few minutes. We're going to continue on. Let me encourage you, as Apostle mentioned, it is not God's will you stay in suffering forever. We go through the valley of shadow of darkness. We don't live forever there. It's not God's will you live forever in darkness, in suffering. We go through it, but we don't stay there. It is seasonal. Now, we go through a tribulation, but on the other side of that tribulation is honor and glory. And here is the beauty of Romans 8:28. It says, all things work together for good to them that love him and to those who are called according to his purpose. So the ones that love and surrender their will and choose to be called to God's purpose, he promises to use that thing for good. He promises to turn what the enemy meet for evil for your good. This is the law of God, that you can turn the enemy's destructive plan into something that you testify about. And in a minute, when Apostle gets back on, he's going to share that testimony. See, a testimony is something that you were tested in, that now you've got victory over, that you begin to share. I was sick, but now I'm well. I was bound, but now I'm free. I was broken, but now I'm healed. I was struggling, and God gives you power to overcome. The scripture tells us, according to the book of Revelation, chapter number 12, we're going to go there very quickly, Revelation chapter 12, and this is why the devil doesn't want that testimony. And in the name of Jesus, Apostle is going to share it when he gets back on. Revelation 12 verse 11 says, and they overcame him, who? The devil, the power, the Antichrist. The overcoming anointing comes, the scripture says, through the blood of the Lamb. Well, again, that blood is his sacrifice. How could it be God's will that Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, the Son of God, the first Son of God, was slain? The blood is bloodshed. It's piercing. It's nails. It's lashes. It's going to the lower parts. Well, this is a part of the plan. Now, you don't stay in the cross. You move from the cross to the death, the burial, into resurrection life. And wherever you sow something, you're going to reap life. Verse number 11 says, and therefore they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice of the Lamb. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And that's why the devil hates testimony. You've got to say of what God has done. You've got to speak about what God has already completed, that this test will become a testimony. This is one of the greatest keys to seeing victory, to seeing power, to seeing joy, that now by the Spirit of grace, you understand this is a setup for a testimony. Every test will become a testimony in the hands of God. He doesn't leave it a mess. Well, it's been that way a long time. We've got to surrender to the will. We've got to go back, as Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, we pray the prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, not my will, but your will. We surrender our will. And then God in the spirit, just like he did in the time of Joseph, the Bible says that the same brothers who put him in the pit, The same brothers who tried to kill him and tried to and sold him into slavery. The same brothers who hated him. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, that many would be saved. This is the God we serve. The sovereign will of God is that he reigns and that spirit comes upon you so you can reign. And in order to train for reign, you've got to serve. You've got to die. In order to live, you got to die. In order to be first, you got to be last. In order to be greatest, you got to be least. In order to receive, you got to sow. This is the law of the principle of the kingdom of God. Your surrender unlocks the sovereign will of God in you. And then through you, he raises you in the earth to change the world around you. And that's what the devil's afraid of. That's what the enemy's trying to stop. He's afraid of you surrendering to his will, not my will. So this is interesting that though Jesus was sinless, he never sinned. We know that to be true. But he could have chosen a will, a desire, a want, a plan outside of the plan of the Father. Now, let me encourage you, that surrender. Bless you, Sister Crystal. Bless you, Sister Amelia. So good to see you. Sister Natalie, again, thank you for being with us. Sister Mary, God bless you. There is a plan that's bigger than the problem. There is a blessing bigger than the warfare. There is help moving toward you by the Spirit of grace. There is goodness and mercy. God wants to share that. And his desire and his beauty is that he completes things. He fulfills things. He established. God is a finisher. I'm going to go back again to Hebrews chapter 12 as they're getting ready. I think they're working on that. And they're going to bring Apostle right back in as soon as they're ready. And we want to hear that testimony. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher. He doesn't leave things unfinished. And if you are in suffering, if you are in a trial, it's not over. Don't stay there. Don't live 40 years in an 11-day journey. Yes, the wilderness was necessary. In order to get in shape, you got to go to the gym. I'm going to say, in order to get in, I don't like the gym. I want to sleep in at 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to be sore. You know, people don't work out, Apostle. So glad you're back. People don't work out because they don't want to be sore the next day. You're sore. You tear muscles. And in order to build strength, you got to tear something. But the pain doesn't last forever. After you've torn a muscle, you tear it. Then you build strength and you build power. Let me encourage you. He will finish what he started. Over to you, Apostle. I know you're about to share a testimony.
Yes, thanks, Apostle. Apologies for that. I had a bit of a Wi-Fi dip. I was just about to share, on Sunday night after powerful service, my youngest daughter, Miyako, she was out in California with us in December, came in the evening. I'm under pressure. I've got presentations for work the next day, and around about 11 o'clock, comes in tears, complaining about pain. Long story short, we had to rush her to hospital, emergency. She was admitted. And we're on the eve of conference. This happened this past Sunday. We're on the eve of conference, and you're looking at this and like, what is the enemy trying to do? She had appendicitis, had an appendix removed.
Wow.
Had to go into surgery. But then the Lord gave me different perspective to say that sometimes we posture ourselves to say, Lord, how could you allow this to happen? Mm-hmm. The Lord said, if I didn't allow it to happen now, if it had happened this weekend,
come on.
You would be a complete mess.
Yes.
And so when we allow ourselves to look at what happens in our lives as part of God's will playing out. Now, I'm not talking about willfully going against the will of God. Yeah. I'm talking about when you're submitted to the will of God, mm-hmm. and you're submitted to what his word and his will, that you can rest assured that he will work it out.
That's right.
These light afflictions, Paul writes to us, these light afflictions, are nothing compared with the glory that we will experience. Amen. That's all I wanted to share, Apostle.
Oh, well, Apostle, I appreciate your transparency. I'll say this. We By God's grace, we've been doing monthly conferences for nearly 2.5 years, and God told me He's building our muscles. You know, to do one conference a year, I mean, or two a year, that's a lot. We've been doing them in different nations by God's grace. And I'm only saying that every month for nearly 2.5 years, God commits to men that will be faithful with a charge.
Yeah.
We're tested. Yeah. But I can't tell you how many times the week before, the week of, we're in hospitals, our family's being attacked. I'm having to lay hands on people in my own home. And just and pray them through. And, you know, they say people see the glory, but don't know the story. The cost, you know, they see the, you know, pray, they're preaching, you're jumping the glory, but don't know that there's a price that is paid in sacrifice, in emotional, mental, physically, sometimes physically the body's attacked. But let me encourage you, the enemy can try to delay destiny, but he cannot stop it. If you understand in everything, give thanks. I remember one of the RTAs, I'll say this maybe about a year ago, the week of the RTA, my daughter, Nora, she's probably about 2 years old. She's four now, so it's about 2 years. That week before, they left a coffee glass out. They were making coffee, and for some reason, it was instant coffee. Normally here, they brew the coffee. So they just, they boiled a cup of coffee, and they had like a dispenser from our water, which gives you hot water. It's protected, so you can't get it. There's a certain way you open it. And they poured the cup, and they left it kind of by the dishwasher. Well, she's 2 years old. She grabs the water cup, and she thinks it's cool water, and drinks it and burns her mouth, and then it spills all over her chest. And then she's, you know, one of those cries where you know something wrong. Not that I lost my toy, or I'm one of those deep cries. And we ran, and then her skin began to flake off in her chest, and like a third to fourth, second to third degree burn, and layers of her chest. I took her quickly into the shower, into the bath, and I said, put warm water, warm and medium water. While the ambulance came, and you know, as we were just holding her, the layers of my daughter's skin on her chest began to come off, just because of the heat. And a severe burn. We rushed her to the hospital, and they had to actually scrub, had to hold her and scrub off those dead layers of skin. And there's like four or five different nurses that couldn't hold her down. I had to hold her, and just very difficult. I remember driving there in the back of the ambulance, just thinking, you know, this is at times the cost of the RTA. Yeah. Like thinking, you know, I'm in an ambulance, I'm in the back of it, I'm holding the baby, she's groaning, we're driving to hospital, and you know, I'm just thanking God that she's well, I'm thanking God she's gonna be fine, but just worshiping Him. Sometimes you don't understand. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes, you know, you don't feel joy. But in the midst of what that pain, and I'd rather have the pain than somebody you care about be stuck there. And the Lord, it took a few days, and they put that skin graft on her. And now we prayed, and there's almost no trace of that scar on her at all. We prayed, the Lord said, I'm going to take care of that. And God did that. And there are countless testimonies of right before the moves of God, something comes. But let me encourage those listening, the pain and the suffering cannot compare to the glory that will come to the body, to the church, to the kingdom of God. You're building equity. You're building that scripture. I'm going to read that to you. You quoted a 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 18. You quoted it. That's the suffering of the present time, our light affliction, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17, for our light affliction, 2 Corinthians 4, 17, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding weight of glory, affliction, tribulation. We all go through it. Some are worse than others, but how do we respond? And that beautiful testimony of you sharing, you know, thank God you caught. Thank God she's well. Your daughter, your baby's fine. If it would have come next week, everything would have been stopped. And God knows the timing and the plans, and understanding the light affliction, which is momentary, works for us exceeding eternal weights of glory. While we don't look at what you can see, but you look at what you cannot see. our focus. And that's why no matter what we're going through, the will of God is to give thanks in it. I don't understand it.
Yes.
I didn't feel good, but I worship you in it because I know somehow God's going to get glory out of this mess, out of this pain, out of this hurt, out of this attack. Some way this
Amen.
Is about the glory of God. You said that blind man that was born, this is about the glory. God's going to get the glory. He'll turn it for good if we'll put it in the hands of the Lord. No matter what it is, Apostle, he's a restorer. He can make well that what was sick. He can make whole what was brokenhearted. He can restore families. And God needs us to give us the ashes. He needs us to give us the pain and the sorrow glory. And the hurt. And as he does, he promises to restore it. Go ahead, Apostle. Mm.
Amen. Amen. I just want to spend the next few minutes just to encourage someone that is going through some trials, that God is not someone who is sitting and waiting to punish you like an old man with a big stick. That's the picture I used to have growing up, you know. But he's a loving God. He's a God who can turn the most messed up situation into a message of deliverance for thousands. And so I just want to encourage someone tonight that I don't know what you might be going through. I don't know what your family is facing right now. But I want to say this to you. Going back again to 1 Peter chapter 2, where he talks about, was it 1 John, where he talks about that the anointing that is on you. Mm. And we would jokingly talk about the fact that Christ is not Jesus' surname. Mm. Means that he's the anointed one.
Yeah.
And so John then says that the anointing that he placed on you, I want to encourage someone tonight. You're an anointed one that for the season and the purpose, that is the divine purpose of God, you have been placed to go through what you're going through because God will use you as a deliverer.
Come on.
As a message. Mm. As a messenger that will bring healing to so many who are going through. You know, sometimes it's difficult for us, Apostle, to be able to give counsel and to bring healing to people when we haven't been through the pain, when we can't relate to their pain. You know, it becomes almost impossible. And all I can say, I can just pray for you. I don't even know what to say to you. But when someone has been through that pain, it becomes so much healing when they can relate and they can share. And that oil that's on their life can flow through to that person. So I want to say to you, God has got a purpose for the pain, but the pain is only for a season. So if you would trust him for the process, God is about to bring healing in your life. Amen.
Amen. Well, this is beautiful. We're going to take a moment and pray. Amen. I'm going to encourage you by the grace of God. The word Christ appears a few times in the Old Testament. And that word Christ, if you look at that word, the anointed one, and it's the word Messiah, and they call him Messiah. Mm. And that phrase, anointed one, shows up in different places. The priests would become the anointed ones, David, his anointed ones. And then it prophesies of the anointed one. Now, Jesus is the anointed one.
Yes, yes.
But we are also anointed ones. We are God's anointed. The Bible speaks of so the priests were anointed ones. It says David, his anointed ones, but there is the anointed one, which is Christ.
Amen.
Now, in order for oil to flow, it requires two things, different things, different spices. You were not allowed to make this ointment any other way. And any other time, it was illegal. You needed certain bitter spices and you needed certain sweet spices, a mixture of both. Let me encourage you, the bitter spices that are crushed and the sweet spices that are crushed will produce an oil of fragrance. And when does that joy come? It comes internally. Sometimes we can get bitter. I'll say this, God, the things that are happening, that are beginning to happen in my life, didn't begin to happen till I got rid of the bitterness.
Yeah.
I had a smile on the outside. I was leading stuff. But internally, I hadn't learned to give God my bitterness. I was frustrated because God spoke. You know, I had so many words, Apostle. Everywhere I go, people pull me out. And the more they prophesied, the worse. Mm-hmm. The money got bad. The home was bad. The attack, the church was, everything was just horrible. I just internally, but I didn't understand. I had to turn my bitterness into sweetness at the altar. I traded my ashes and I traded my pain and I traded my discontentment for a trust. And when I begin to do that, things begin to come that I couldn't open for myself.
Favor. Amen.
And now I learned to mix the bitter with the sweet. And as I did, an oil began to flow in turn. Let me encourage you, leader, man of God, woman of God, financial entrepreneur, you may be facing the contradiction, the opposite. How does the resurrection die? How is it possible? How is it possible that there's lack and God wants to multiply and feed 5,000? Jesus is hungry in the desert. He's got no bread. Then the devil tempts him, turn these stones into bread. And the truth of the matter is he's going to turn 2 fishes, 5 loaves into bread and feed 5,000. This is the timing of God. But there are moments in our heart where we must come to confidence and come to trust and come to rest in God, just to trust internally. And I just pray right now. I'm gonna begin to pray. I'm gonna pass it over to the apostle to pray, and then he can share some closing thoughts. But I want to encourage you listening. That brokenness, that wound, that hurt, that disappointment, that crushing, it wasn't to destroy you. The marks in your life are the marks of the man and woman of God. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of Christ. And these marks and these crushings are what others will touch and be healed and be delivered. As you mentioned, the oil flows because you've been through something and you've overcome. We all go through, but are we going to overcome? So Lord, I just agree. And I stand upon this word. I just pray the anointing of your spirit, even as we pray now. And that oil is flowing, that grace is moving, that men and women are, they are being well in, made well internally, that in their spirit, in their mind, they are loved, they are not rejected, they are, God is preparing you for where you're going. He's protecting you for where you're going. He's going to heal that rejection. He's going to heal that bitterness. He's going to heal that pain. And from that piercing, from that stripe, from that crushing, others will be made whole. Children will be made whole. Marriages will be made whole. In the name
Jesus,
of we decree the sovereign Lord, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon us because he's anointed us to preach good news to the poor. He's anointed us to heal the brokenhearted. He's anointed us to set at liberty captives and cause prisons to be emptied. This is the intent of our crushing. This is the intent of our brokenness. This is the intent of our process, that freedom would come to a generation of those broken and those wounded in South Africa, in America, in UK, in Pakistan, wherever it is you want to move. God, we lose the spirit of the sovereign Lord through these airwaves, and we pray miracles, we pray signs and wonders begin to flow even now. Go ahead, Apostle.
We just thank you right now, Lord God, that even as the anointing on this broadcast begins to flow across these airwaves, that there are right now burdens that are being removed, yokes, age-old yokes that are being destroyed because of the oil that flows. And Lord God, we just pray that that oil will bring refreshing, that it will bring revival, it will bring restoration, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, tonight that yokes are being broken, yokes that have been weighing so heavy. Thank you tonight, Lord God, Father, that deliverance comes, that the captives are set free, that those that have been bound by anxiety and by fear, that have been bound by low self-esteem and rejection, tonight in the name of Jesus, even as the anointing begins to flow, as it flows down, Lord God, according to your word, down, Lord, the beard of Aaron, down the garments, Lord God, it begins to flow. And everybody who is listening to this broadcast tonight, as they begin for the first time to experience peace, where there was nothing but storms, where there was discouragement, that, Lord God, they would know you are the lifter of their heads. That, Lord God, there is an oil of joy that flows forth tonight in the name of Jesus. That freedom comes, Lord God, because yokes and burdens have been removed. Thank you tonight, Lord God, that you are doing what no man can do. by your spirit, your sovereign will tonight, Lord God, you set the captives free. And you bring encouragement to those, Lord God, who are in the valley season, that you are still with them, that you will never leave them nor forsake them. That, Father, your love and your presence comes tonight to bring reassurance to them that you have not left them, you've not forsaken them, you are with them, and your plan still stands, your promise still stands. In the name of Jesus, we declare freedom over this broadcast. Freedom in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast with Apostle Nathaniel Leon. Stay up to date with our latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, YouTube, or by liking us on Facebook at This Rock International. Thank you for listening and have a blessed day.